Welcome to this deep dive. Let's start with a scenario that most of you have probably found yourselves in at some point.
Oh, I think I know where this is going.
Yeah, so you're shooting, right? The ambient lighting is hitting your subject perfectly. You check the back of the camera, and you've just nailed it. The composition is tight, the color grading is spot on, and for a split second, you think, I could easily pitch this to a brand. Like, I could do this commercially.
It's a great feeling. But
The reality of our industry today is that, well, everyone has access to incredible gear. So pulling off one technically flawless, stunning photograph is almost just the baseline now. Crossing that threshold from someone who takes a fantastic image to a working, consistently booked commercial photographer requires an entirely different framework.
it really does. And it requires a framework that often serves as a pretty brutal wake-up call, frankly, for creatives who are transitioning into the commercial space. You quickly realize that art buyers and creative directors, they aren't shopping for a single masterpiece to hang in a gallery.
Right, they aren't looking for fine art.
Exactly. They're shopping for utility. They're looking for visual architecture that can actually support a broader marketing campaign.
And that structural approach is the entire focus of today's deep dive. We are functioning as an explainer audio today, drawing from a specialized instructional module written by Don Giannotti. It's focused squarely on commercial photography, and specifically, we're unpacking his core philosophy, why taking one good photo is never enough to get hired.
Which is such a crucial lesson.
It is. We're really getting into the mechanics of visual problem solving for businesses today.
And Giannotti's module is just incredibly pragmatic. It completely strips away the romance of the lucky shot, or that serendipitous capture. Instead, it replaces that with very deliberate, calculated thinking. When you read through the material, you see that commercial clients are purchasing a cohesive body of work. They need a system of images that share consistent lighting ratios, specific negative space for graphic designers, and absolute visual cohesion.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the core philosophy here hits on a major friction point. I remember early on pitching a single beautifully styled image of a watch to a boutique brand. And just crickets. I couldn't understand why they wouldn't want it.
It's so common.
Giannotti's module addresses this directly, though. Commercial clients almost never hire a photographer for a single image because a single image just doesn't solve their logistical problems. And if you think about it from your own perspective as a consumer, when you look at a brand online, you don't just see one picture, you're looking at a whole visual ecosystem.
Right. Think about the daily friction an art director actually faces. A single lucky shot is technically a liability to a brand if it doesn't fit into that larger visual ecosystem. They have highly specific formatting needs.
Oh, for sure.
They might have a banner on a website that requires a 16 by 9 horizontal crop, right? Then a social media campaign that needs 4 by 5 vertical crops and packaging that might require a really tight macro shot.
All from the same campaign.
Exactly. If you hand them one perfectly composed hero shot, the second they try to crop it to fit a specific dimension, the composition completely falls apart. They hire photographers who can anticipate those formatting needs and produce a body of work that feels intentional across every single medium.
Which transitions perfectly into the first major concept Giannotti teaches to build that ecosystem, which is the set. Now, I know a lot of people use the terms set and series interchangeably in casual conversation, but he makes a very strict distinction here in the module.
He does.
How exactly does he define a set?
So Giannotti defines a set as a group of photographs of the exact same subject. So the identical product, the same plate of food, the same piece of jewelry, but photographed in multiple distinct functional ways. He actually uses a standard coffee mug to illustrate the baseline deliverables. If a client sends you a coffee mug, you don't just shoot it sitting straight on and call it a day. A professional set requires five specific angles, and each one serves a distinct marketing purpose.
Walk us through those five required shots for the coffee mug, because this is where the utility really comes into play for the listener.
Sure. First, you have the hero shot. This is your main glamorous, aspirational image. It's the one you use to stop the scroll on Instagram.
The beauty shot.
Exactly. Second is an overhead shot, which is highly requested for flat lay layouts or specific UI designs on websites.
Makes sense.
Third is the detail or texture shot. So this is a macro or near macro image focusing on the glaze of the ceramic or maybe the curve of the handle. Fourth is a lifestyle context shot, placing the mug in a real-world environment to show scale and usage, like sitting on a desk next to a laptop. And fifth, and this is the one most hobbyists completely skip, is the negative space version, where the subject is pushed all the way to the margins to leave significant usable empty room in the frame, same mug, 5 functional deliverables.
I want to linger on that negative space shot for a second. Lighting a frame to intentionally leave, say, 70% of it empty, without it looking like a mistake that's technically demanding. You're basically lighting for the graphic designer at that point, aren't you?
You're literally handing the designer a canvas. If we connect this to the bigger picture, small businesses have a voracious appetite for imagery, and they desperately need room for typography.
Yeah.
If they want to run a targeted ad with text that says morning sale, they cannot overlay that text on a tightly cropped macro shot of the mug's handle. The text will just clash with the visual information. They need that negative space version so the ad copy has room to breathe.
And conversely, if they want to highlight the high-quality ceramic material to justify a $20 price point, that lifestyle shot taken from 5 feet away won't communicate that.
Right. They need the macro detail shot for that.
It totally transforms the photographer from a simple picture taker into a strategic partner. You are basically handing the client a Swiss Army knife. You're anticipating their needs before they even have to articulate them on a creative brief.
Anticipation is the absolute hallmark of a professional. When you deliver a complete set, you prove you understand the mechanics of how commercial imagery functions in the real world. You are giving them coverage.
Now here's where it gets really interesting. Once a photographer masters the set, which is extracting maximum utility out of a single subject, Giannotti introduces the second half of the equation, which is the series. And this requires an entirely different technical discipline.
It does. And I'd argue it's much harder to pull off.
Really?
Yeah, because unlike a set, a series features multiple completely different subjects. But it uses the exact same visual approach for every single one of them. Giannotti uses the example of a local coffee shop to contrast with the single mug we just discussed.
Let's break down that local coffee series. So the subjects are constantly rotating. You shoot an espresso shot, then swap it for a cappuccino, then a latte, then a tall glass of cold brew, and finally maybe a handful of raw coffee beans. But the visual language remains locked in.
Locked in is the perfect term. Every single image in that series must share the same lighting ratio, the same focal length characteristics, the same background, and the exact same color grading. Different subjects, identical visual language.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second. If every photo in a series has the exact same lighting, the same background, and the same mood, doesn't that risk getting visually boring for a brand's social media feed? Why wouldn't a client want variety?
It's a common pushback, but it kind of misunderstands the goal of brand marketing. Cohesion isn't boring. Cohesion is recognizable.
Ah, right.
When a consumer is scrolling at lightning speed, a brand only has a fraction of a second to register in their brain. If a local coffee shop's feed is a chaotic mix of dark and moody espresso shots, brightly lit sun-drenched lattes, and then neon-lit cold brews, there is no brand identity there.
It's just a mess.
Exactly. A series provides an anchor. Giannotti points out that successfully executing a series proves 2 incredibly sophisticated skills to a client: creative direction and art direction.
We should probably define those terms clearly because they definitely get conflated a lot in this industry. How are we distinguishing creative direction from art direction in this context?
Good question. Creative direction is the overarching conceptual vision. It's the what and the why. For the coffee shop, the creative direction might be, we want our brand to feel like a slow, rustic, warm Sunday morning.
Okay, that's a vibe.
Right. Art direction is the execution. It's the how. It is the technical translation of that concept, meaning deciding to use specific amber gels on your strobes, a 45-degree diffused key light, and a weathered oak surface to actually physically create that warm Sunday morning feeling in the camera.
That makes perfect sense. And proving you can maintain that art direction across different subjects is massive because, technically speaking, keeping the lighting identical on a flat pile of raw coffee beans versus a tall, highly reflective glass of cold brew that requires serious problem solving.
It requires complete mastery of your modifiers and your flags. You can't just leave the light in the same spot on the stand.
No, the reflections would be totally different.
Exactly. You have to actively adjust your setup to make sure the light feels the same on the cold brew as it did on the beans, despite the physical differences in the subjects. And commercial clients are paying for that reliability. They aren't just buying the photo of the latte.
What are they buying?
They're buying the assurance that 6 months from now, when they introduce a seasonal iced matcha, you can shoot it and seamlessly drop it into their existing menu without it looking completely out of place.
Wow. Okay, so we have the set providing coverage of one item, and we have the series providing consistency across multiple items. Giannotti then brings them together to establish what he calls the professional standard. Because in a real-world commercial job, these two concepts overlap constantly.
They do. They're basically the warp and weft of a commercial portfolio. Mm. Giannotti illustrates this overlap in the module with a theoretical product job for a skincare brand.
Let's look at that skincare example. Because if a brand hires you to shoot their new product line, you deliver a set for each individual product.
Right.
So for the moisturizer jar, which might be short, squat, and made of frosted glass, you deliver the hero shot, the macro texture shot of the actual cream, the overhead, the lifestyle, and the negative space version. That's your set.
But then you also have to deliver a series for the entire product line.
Right. You have the moisturizer jar, a tall translucent toner bottle, and a skinny serum dropper. Three vastly different shapes and reflective surfaces. But they all need to share a clean, high-key white style, consistent specular highlights, and the exact same brand aesthetic.
You are essentially creating sets that operate within a larger series. When a photographer delivers that, the client doesn't just receive a folder of photos. They receive robust plug-and-play visual library.
And building that type of system requires rigorous training. To force this type of structural thinking, Giannotti includes a very specific, highly constrained student assignment in the module.
The constraints are what make it so brilliant.
I want to walk through the practical parameters of this assignment because it really highlights how much discipline this takes. First, the student must build one set. They select a single object, maybe a kitchen utensil, jewelry, food, or a cosmetic product. Once chosen, they are required to capture the five specific angles we discussed earlier.
And there is no room for negotiation on those angles. You cannot skip the negative space shot simply because it feels awkward to compose a frame with 70% dead space. You have to figure out how to balance that composition.
Then comes the second half of the assignment, building one series. Students pick a broad theme like breakfast foods, utensils, coffee drinks, small bottles, or baked goods, and they must photograph 3 to 5 different subjects within that theme.
And the rules dictate the same lighting style, the same background, and the same mood across all of them.
Exactly. The deliverables are precise. Submit either 4 images for a set or 4 images for a series.
The rigidity of those deliverables is very intentional. It simulates a strict client brief.
But with constraints that strict, getting stuck in the pre-production phase is a real risk. I mean, staring at a blank notepad trying to conceptualize 5 unique angles for a spatula, or finding a theme that works in a home studio that can be paralyzing. Interestingly, Giannotti introduces an AI prompt as a workflow solution for this exact bottleneck.
It's a very pragmatic use of modern tools.
Okay.
He isn't suggesting AI replace the photographer.
Okay, not at all.
He's positioning it as a brainstorming mechanism to break through creative block during pre-production.
He actually provides a specific prompt for students to use. It's, I am building a small commercial photography portfolio. Suggest 5 ideas for a photographic set and 5 ideas for a photographic series that could be shot at home with simple props and studio lighting. He advises them to identify their specific niche, whether that's food, product, or tabletop, to the AI. It's a highly effective way to generate a baseline concept before you ever touch a light stand.
It really reinforces a critical lesson. The heavy lifting in commercial photography happens in the planning stage. You need a rock-solid structural concept before the camera even powers on.
So what does this all mean when you are standing in front of the final gallery? How does a student or an art director know if the execution of a set or a series was actually successful? Giannotti provides a litmus test he calls the simple rule.
Yes, it is the anchor of the entire module. The simple rule is, if someone looks at the work and instantly says, these all look like they belong together, you succeeded.
Belonging together. It sounds incredibly simple, but as you mentioned earlier, the technical execution is where it falls apart. The module explicitly outlines the common mistakes that break that sense of belonging. What are the major pitfalls students run into?
The primary pitfall is the urge to overstyle. Students often introduce random props midway through a shoot. You are shooting a series of minimalist coffee drinks on a clean slate background, and suddenly you introduce a rustic patterned linen napkin into the third shot just because the frame felt a little empty. You've broken the cohesion.
Right. Every element must serve the series.
It's that temptation to add just one more thing to fix a composition rather than actually fixing the lighting or the camera angle.
Which is so tempting when you're alone in the studio.
Exactly. Another massive mistake is suddenly tweaking the lighting. I've seen shoots go completely off the rails because an art director or the photographer decides midway through the day to move the key light just a few inches to catch a different highlight.
Just a tiny adjustment.
But if that light moves, the shadow angles change. If the shadow angles change, the images no longer belong in the same universe. The connection is instantly severed. And the same goes for swapping backgrounds. You cannot shoot a moisturizer on dark marble, shoot the toner on light wood, and claim it's a cohesive series.
That brings us to a golden quote from Giannotti in this section that perfectly encapsulates this mindset. He states, "Commercial photography rewards clarity and control."
That is the thesis of the commercial industry. Chaos is the absolute enemy of commercial art. Changing backgrounds on a whim, shifting your light source because you got bored with the setup, or introducing props without a strict conceptual reason, that is chaos.
And brands don't pay for chaos.
A commercial client cannot build a multi-million dollar brand identity on chaos. They require the absolute reliability of clarity and control. That discipline is what signals to a brand that their visual identity is in safe hands.
That is such a powerful takeaway for anyone listening who's looking to level up their portfolio. To synthesize the impact of what we've explored today, sets demonstrate your coverage and versatility. They prove you can squeeze every drop of marketing utility out of a single subject. Series demonstrate your conceptual consistency. They prove you can wrangle multiple difficult subjects into one unified creative vision. Together, they are the architectural blueprints that turn a hobbyist into an indispensable professional asset.
They absolutely are. And I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder that builds on everything Giannotti outlines in this module. Now that you understand the rigorous discipline, the technical problem solving, and the strict control required to build a true set or series, how will this alter the way you consume the media around you?
Ooh, that's a great question.
The next time you walk past a massive billboard campaign or scroll through a meticulously curated brand feed, ask yourself, are you looking at a happy accident captured by a lucky photographer? Or are you being subtly, intentionally guided by the invisible hand, deliberate art direction?
It certainly ruins the illusion of the lucky shot in the best way possible. You'll definitely never look at a simple coffee mug ad the same way again. Thank you all for joining us on this deep dive. Keep your eyes open to the intentional design happening all around you, and we will catch you next time.